Blog Talk Radio.
Going to be doing on this evening
be ye converted. And, I believe the Most High has given me a word on this evening, for this evening. And so, that's what we're going to be getting into. We want to greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. We want to say, give greetings to all the countries who are tuning in. And so I want to name those off because it's important to myself, and it's important to the Most High that the word gets out into all the nations of the earth. And so we are still endeavoring to get into every country. So we want to say happy Sabbath or Shabbat Shalom to Afghanistan, to Algeria, to those in Belgium, in Brazil, in Canada, in Colombia, to those that are in Denmark, Finland, France. Shabbat Shalom to those in Germany, Guyana, Ireland, and Japan. Happy Sabbath to those that are in Mexico, the Netherlands, Nigeria, Poland, Portugal, Russia, South Africa, South Korea, Sweden, Tajikistan, Thailand, the United Nations, United States of America, and Vietnam. We greet you all in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. And we pray that you are being blessed by this ministry, that you are receiving something that you can use from the Word of the Most High, and that you are learning to fear the Most High and to keep His commandments. Because this is really what it's all about, and this Be Ye Converted on tonight is more of the same. More of the same. Fear the Most High and keep His commandments. So we want to wish you all happy Sabbath, no matter where you're at, and pray that Yah is richly blessing you all. For those that are in Pal Talk or on Blog Talk, for those that are listening to the broadcast across the internet, those that are dialed in, happy Sabbath to you all. We have created, there is really no way that if someone really wants to listen to this broadcast live, that they are not able to do so. We have a conference direct number, which is 480-382-9901. We have our online meeting room, which you can listen to on live. You have to register on the site. We have the Blog Talk Radio call-in number, which is 516-453-9909. And we also have Blog Talk Radio live broadcast stream, which is blogtalkradio.com/YGKM, and you can pick up the broadcast live there no matter where you're at in the world. So if you're in the continental United States, you can call in the conference direct or the Blog Talk conference number, or you can listen, you can register on the meetings.glorytoyah.org.site. Or you can listen to us at blogtalkradio.com/YGKM and listen to the live broadcast. And that's from anywhere in the world. It may now, the timing may not be convenient where you're at, but it is the best that we can do at this time. So we want to greet you all wherever you may be. We're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith. And then we're going to pray in, listen to a praise song or two, and then we're going to get into this precept. And I pray that, that you have pen and paper with you because, the message is always the same. And the Most High, really, in these last days, the message is to fear Him and keep His commandments. That is the message. That is the gospel. That is the good news, because if you do that, you will make it into His kingdom. If you truly repent. So we're going to talk about some godly sorrow on today. We're going to talk about you know, what was wrong with man from the beginning. And we're going to go back and look at this, because when the Most High gave it to me, I was like, okay, wow. This is, you know, this is a resounding theme through the book. And so, you know, and it's still that way today. Man is still choosing to do this very same thing. And in these last days, just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in these last days. So there's nothing new up under the sun. So with that being said, you know, I pray that, you know, the sound of the, if you are listening on Blog Talk Radio, if you are hearing any background noise like a fan or whatever, if you will press the number one, then I can, you know, I'll go turn off the fan. If it's not too irritating or if you can't hear it, then you don't have to do anything. All is well. All right, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe that there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and to keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. We just glorify and magnify you on today, Father. We lift thee up. And we worship thee, O Yah Elohim. We worship thee. We give you all adoration and all praise. And we give you all glory and honor. From glory to glory, you are Elohim. And there is none like you, O Yah. No, not one, Father. There is none good but you. And Father, we just worship you on today. We give you honor on this your day that you have ordained. It's your day that we should come together and that we should praise and worship you. That we should set aside and focus on you, Father. And so, Father, we just want to be obedient children and honor you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. We just magnify you on today, and we lift you up. For you are our Elohim, and we will not bow down and worship another. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads, as we turn toward the east. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. We have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. He said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we are repenting of our sins and we're turning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, hear our supplications and our prayers and deliver us from this captivity that you have scattered us into. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you have called in Messiah, that they would come and hear your voice and obey and keep your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this evening, we ask that you smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Let us go to 1 Kings chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 46, and I'm going to personalize it. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet shall we think ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee and all our transgressions, wherein we have transgressed against thee, and give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people, and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servants, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth, to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 27. Verses 26 through 28, my mistake. Verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim. But turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which the Elohim of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it, all the days that you live upon the earth. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 7. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. John chapter 14 and verse 15. The book of John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar.
Problems like the down. ain't nobody treated. You say that there's nothing wrong with breaking God's laws. You say that there's nothing wrong, and nothing bad will happen to you. But don't you know if you don't repent? But don't you know you're gonna die? But don't you know you're gonna die? But don't you know you're gonna die? But don't you know if you repent? But don't you know save your life? But don't you know you're gonna die? The Most High is the best. Ain't nobody greater. He'll help you through your test. Ain't nobody greater. He's walking when problems knock you down, when it gets hard. So please just remember this. Ain't nobody freed up. Sometimes in our lives we will make mistakes, but you gotta pray. He who overcomes will inherit all things. God says, for all that sin and that falling short of the glory of God. God touches the heart and he fresh the mind. He treats you as you are and not what you pretend to be. The Most High is the best. Ain't nobody greater. You do your test. Ain't nobody freed up.
greater than he. Yehuchanan, the immerser, was not the light, but light, HaMashiach. We have become that light. No man, when he has lighted a candle, covers it with a vessel, or puts it on a bed, but sets it on a menorah. That day which you enter in may see the light. Hallelujah.
Somebody that is you're trying, but no, he says, if you can't commit to him and give him your all, give him your whole heart, make him number one, you cannot be his disciple. So those are your foundations of discipleship. Mosiah, you know, he's clear all over the place that he wants our all. He's got to be number one. And if he's not number one, then we're just going through the motions. And if you're just going through the motions, he says, hey, you're not worthy of him. So, you know, we want to serve that Elohim that's all-loving and all-kind and all-merciful. He says, but I want your all. And if you're not willing to give me your all, then you're not worthy of me. Not even worthy of my salvation. And I did that for all mankind. All right, we're going to get into this precept on this evening. Be ye converted. You know, because I believe it was Tuesday night Bible study. One of the sisters, I believe it was Sister Lori, asked, well, how are you, you know, how do you get converted? How do you, you know, how the scripture says that this is our nature. But the truth of the matter is, all through the Holy Scriptures, you know, the scriptures are telling us that what the issue is and that we must be converted. So I want to go over this on this evening, and, you know, I want to go over it in a high level because each individual has their own issue. You know, the person that struggles with stealing don't fornicate don't have a problem with fornication. And so the truth of the matter is it's just stop sinning. But let's look at this thing from the beginning, okay? And so our reference verse on tonight is Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim. By the renewing of our mind. So let's look at this thing, because he's telling us, you know, what we need to do. But let's look at it from the very beginning so that we can understand the nature of the problem and that man has chosen this. Because when, you know, like I said, when the Most High showed me this from this angle, you know, I was like, wow. It just never ceases to amaze me. You know, it's the same thing, but it's a different way in how he's looking at it. So let us go to the book of Genesis chapter 2. The book of Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to get verse 9. And out of the ground made Yah Elohim to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I want you to underline the knowledge of good and evil. Because, you know, when we look at this, again, this is, you're going to see that man has chosen evil. When Adam and Eve ate from the garden, from the tree, they were disobedient. Yes, and they sinned because they did something that they were told not to do. So they were disobedient. And we're going to look at that disobedience because that is evil in the eyes of the Most High, to be disobedient, okay? But what I want you to look at right now is focus on the tree. Gave them the knowledge of both good and evil. Both good and evil. So what did man choose? Because he has the knowledge of both good and evil. And so he's got a choice. He's got knowledge of both. And this is what the Most High is going to judge people on who never heard. But especially those that heard, he says, because you have the knowledge from the day Adam and Eve ate from the tree. All men have had the knowledge of good and evil. So let's go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22. And Yah Elohim said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. So the man and the woman knew good, and they knew evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Now, what this is telling me is that the Most High never really wanted man to have a knowledge of evil. He never really wanted man to have a knowledge of evil. So he says, now that he knows good and evil, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life. Because the Most High must have known that we were going to choose to do evil. And so he says, you know, now I got to run him out of the garden. At least he take up the tree of life and live forever. He ate from, both trees were in the middle of the garden. I told him he could eat from all the trees that are in the midst of the garden, except for this one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from that tree. You can eat from the tree of life all you want to. Because as long as you don't disobey that one commandment, and you're going to be keeping my Sabbath with me because I'm resting, so I know you're going to be resting. I'm teaching you that, you know, these laws, even though they're not written. I'm resting on the seventh day, so I know that this man is going to be resting on the seventh day. And this woman is going to be resting on the seventh day. But they have a commandment, one commandment, what not to do, and it's not to eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So they eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they have both knowledges. They have the knowledge of good, and they have the knowledge of evil. They can make a choice. They've been disobedient when they ate from the tree, but from that standpoint, from that moment on, they can still got a choice. They can either do good because they got the knowledge of it, or they can do evil because they have the knowledge of it. But what happened to man? Let's go to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And Elohim saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So from the time of Adam and Eve eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, man had the knowledge of good and evil, and man chose to do evil continually. That became his nature. Rather than his nature becoming good, his nature became evil. And that's what his thoughts continually evil, even though he had the knowledge of good. He was choosing not to do good. He was choosing not to love his brother. He was choosing not to love his neighbor. He was choosing to do wickedness because he had the knowledge of good as well. And so when we look at this thing from that standpoint, then you know that from the beginning, man chose evil over good. And so people are wondering, well, you know, what am I being converted from? This nature of being evil, this nature of choosing evil. And we're going to find out that this evilness, it really comes down to, and I'm going to tell you, it really comes down to disobeying the Most High. That's what it really comes down to, disobedience. All the acts, no matter what you can imagine, come down to disobedience against the word of the Most High, against his commandments. So even when he looked at man and said, you know what? His thoughts are continually just evil. He has the knowledge of good in him. That tree that he ate from gave him that knowledge. But he just chooses, not just one man. The vast majority of all men. And the Most High look at it and say, I don't see but one perfect man on the earth. And that happened to be Noah at that time. So the Most High says, you know what? I'm going to wipe out all living things that crawl upon the earth. Anything that's on the earth that breathes air, I'm going to destroy it all. I'm going to save something. I'm going to save a few and start over. I'm going to save 8 human souls and start over. I'm going to save 2 by 2 of the animals and 7 of the clean animals that are used for sacrifice. Start over. And when he starts over, the flood does not wipe out evil. The flood does not wipe out disobedience. We don't have anywhere in the scriptures where the Most High told Noah and his son, don't look on each other's nakedness. But this is what Noah accuses Ham of. And this is what is written in the scriptures. Let's go to Genesis chapter 9. The book of Genesis chapter 9. This is right after the flood. This is after the Most High has wiped out all flesh, all living things on the earth, except for the 8 souls and the animals and everything else that he decided to save that breathes air to start over with. But he still didn't get rid of this evil, this disobedience. But we know that is disobedience because chapter 9, verse 19, these are the 3 sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. So the whole earth was populated again. And Noah began to be a husbandman, that's a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. So Noah, you know, just some time has passed because it takes some time for the vineyard to grow. And then it takes some time for the grapes that he, you know, when he pulled, you know, plucks the grapes and starts to make the wine, it takes time for the wine to ferment. So some time has gone by. And so he's drinking wine, and he gets drunk, and he's naked in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his 2 brethren outside, hey, daddy's naked. Now, this was wickedness. And Noah woke up and said, you know, however he knew, whether his son told him, Ham had done, he knew, and he curses Canaan, Ham's descendant to them, for this evil act. And so in order for it to be an evil act, they had to be told that it was what? Wickedness, don't do it. Even if it's not written, the scriptures are implying that they were told and they knew that, hey, you don't look upon your father or your mother's nakedness and then go tell your brothers and sisters. Because when you read the rest of that story, his other 2 sons got, you know, some clothes or a blanket, and they walked backwards with their head turned away from their father and covered him up. So they knew that they weren't supposed to be looking, even though it's not given as a commandment yet. But evidently it has been given and given to them to understand that you don't do that. So when I was reading this story, and, you know, it says that the Most High only found really 1 righteous person, Noah. He walked perfect in his generation. It didn't say Noah's wife walked perfect. Didn't say his children walked perfect. Didn't say their wives walked perfect. But it was Noah. So for Noah's sake, the Most High saved his children and his wife and their wives because of Noah. But because evil and wickedness entered right back into the earth, because he did that, then Yah, when we go to Ezekiel chapter 14, we read the mind of the Most High, and he says he's not going to save the children because of, he's not going to save your child if you're righteous. So let's go to Ezekiel chapter 14. Because, you know, the Most High is like, you know, I saved Noah and his children, and evil just entered right back into the earth. Okay? I mean, right back in. Ezekiel chapter 14. And we're in verses 12 through 14. And the word of Yah came unto me again, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then I will stretch out my hand upon it and will break the staff of bread thereof. I'm going to cause a famine in the land, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Know these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, these are three righteous men. Though these three men were in it, if, you know, these men are dead. But he said, if these three righteous men were in it, Noah, Daniel, and Job, they should deliver, but their own souls, but their by their righteousness, saith Yah Elohim. You know what? I need to go get a couple more verses so you see that he says he's not going to deliver the children. So hold on just a second. I only got three verses, but let me go and get three more so we understand that. Because the Most High is going to do in these last days. You know, we would want the Most High for our sake to save our children. But he won't save our children for our sake, for our righteousness, if we are living a righteous life. The children got to save themselves. Every person has to save themselves. So we will read in Ezekiel chapter 14. We stop at verse 12. I'm going to pick it up at verse 13. Son of man. No, I'm going to pick it up at verse 15. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith Yah Elohim, these three men are Noah, Daniel, and Job. They shall deliver neither their sons nor their daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Now I want us to understand this, what I said before, that I needed to do a precept on desolation, because desolation doesn't always mean 100% empty of nothing living. But desolation means that desolation means that the land can be absent of the children of Israel and only a few righteous people are left. But it's not filled with the Hebrew Israelites. It's not filled with the people like the Most High intended. So he says it will be desolate. So I pray that we get that and understand it, okay? It says, though these three men, these three righteous men was in it, I'm not going to spare everybody in the land. I'm not going to spare the land. Neither the sons nor the daughters. They only shall be delivered, the righteous, but the land shall be desolate. Read verse 17. Or if I bring a sword upon the land and say, sword go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, again, he's referring back to Noah, Daniel, and Job, three righteous men, were in it, as I live, saith Yah Elohim, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. So this is the precept that he wants us to understand. When I destroy the earth, and I was going to start over, I needed to have populate the earth. And I saved Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. But when I did that, evil and wickedness entered, really never left the world. So now, if I destroy the earth again, if there's three righteous people in the earth, then I'm going to save those three righteous people, and I'm not going to save their children, their sons or their daughters. Because if their sons or daughters aren't being righteous, then I'm not going to save them and leave evil in the world. I'm not going to save them and leave disobedience in the world. So like Most I looked at it and said, okay, I did this once, and I saved, you know, the sons and their wives for the sake of Noah. But now, even if Noah happened to be in the land now, or Job, or Daniel, or any other righteous person, I'm only going to save the righteous. I'm not going to save their children because they're righteous, because their parents are righteous. I'm only going to save the righteous. So, you know, if you love your children, you have to tell them. You have to tell them, because the Most High is not going to save them for your sake. Nobody wants their child, son or daughter, to go to the lake. Nobody wants to believe, you know, that they're that bad or whatever. And, you know, we would like to think that for our sake that the Most High will save our loved ones. But he's telling us in Ezekiel, if I send a sword, if I send famine, if I send disease, whatever I send to wipe out the land, I'm only going to save the righteous. So even when he comes back, that's why he says, I'm going to remove the wicked from the land. The righteous aren't going to be taken out of the land. And if it's, you know, in this case, he's saying, I'm not going to save your children if they are acting up. If you weren't able to transmit this gospel to your children and they don't repent and be converted, then I'm not going to save them for your sake. I'm going to save you. But I'm not going to save your child, your son or your daughter, your husband or your wife. So they must be what? Converted. And we're going to talk about what this conversion is. Again, what we see is evil. What we see is disobedience. And so I want you to tie those two words together. In the Most High's eyes, when you are disobedient, you are evil. You know, we think somebody's evil if they go out and kill 5 or 10 people, if they rape 5 or 6 women or 1 woman, or if they do, you know, if they mess with a child or something, they're evil. In the Most High's eyes, if you disobey him, you are evil. So in one of the Gospels, and I didn't get this verse, so I'm going to sort of paraphrase it, quote it, that disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft, we know, is wicked, is evil. Disobedience in the eyes of the Most High is evil, and we need to call it for what it is. And this is what we're supposed to be converting from. From that nature, that evil nature that man has had from the beginning of disobedience. So let's keep this moving. Go to 1 Timothy. Because this is, just like it says, that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. And I explained that to you, that he's the end standard. He doesn't put an end to the law, but he is that standard. He's what comes up as. If you keep the law, you should be just like Yeshua HaMashiach, or what the Most High intended for those that are saved. That they are obedient, and that they keep the law and they don't sin. That should be your end state. How you end up with. So when we read in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity, or the end of the commandment is love, out of a pure heart. When you keep the commandment, then what you're supposed to be learning is love. Love of the Most High and how he wants us to love him. So you can't define how to love the Most High. Just like you can't define how to love another person. You can only define how to love yourself. So if you want somebody to love you, then you got to tell them, this is what I need from you to feel like I'm loved. If you leave it to them to try to figure you out, then heck, if you don't know what it is, how do you expect them to know? And this is what the Most High is saying. The end of the commandment, what the commandments are designed to do to us, is to teach us how to love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, meaning that I'm not trying to love you to get something from you. I'm loving you because I want to love you. I see something in you that makes me want to love you. And faith unseen. Belief in the person that, you know what, I'm not pretending that I love or care for you because, you're a good person. I genuinely believe that you're a good person, and I love you for that reason. This is what the law, and that the Most High, that his laws and his statutes are good, and we love him for that. He's telling us and defining for us what love is to him. And this is what he wants. This is the end of it. That we love out of a pure heart and a good conscience. Not pretending. But out of genuineness for him and for whoever it is. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. So when we say keep the commandments, and we don't understand that the end of the commandment is obedience, because the Most High defines loving him as being obedient to his commandments. That's what it means to him. If we don't figure that out, we're saying keep the law, but we don't understand that that is supposed to lead us to love him, then we're not teaching the law correctly. When we don't teach the law for somebody to keep the law, to be in obedience to the Most High, because we love them and we don't want to see them destroyed because they don't keep the law, and it's a genuine concern, then we don't know how to teach the law. We're telling them to do something, but we're not really teaching them what the end state should be and why they're doing this. Be obedient because the Most High commands you to be obedient, but he's really said, I want you to be obedient because this is what I require for you to show me that you love me, that you be obedient to me. Let's read this. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. If you don't understand that teaching this law, the statute, laws, commandments, the ordinances, it is not to just be doing something just to do it, but you're supposed to meditate on it and understand, why does this make the Most High happy? Why does this make him feel like I love him? Why does this make me a good person in his eyes when I show love for him and I show love for my brother or my sister? That is genuine love. Not because I needed something. Not because I needed to be loved in return. Love unseen. If we're teaching people to keep the commandments and we're not teaching them the aspect of love of it, then we shouldn't be teaching them to keep the law, because we don't really understand what the law is intended for. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Really, what it's saying, if he use it lovingly. Because the law is supposed to bring us to love. High is love. And his love is a perfect love. We can't be doing things that make us, if we want to be loved by him and love him, that make us corrupt in his eyes. We can't be doing things that make us disobedient in his eyes. Because then he says, okay, you don't really love me, because if you love me, you would do what I say do. I mean, it ain't no clearer than that. If you love me, keep my commandments. Because from the very beginning, from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve learned what love was, and they learned what good was. They also learned what evil was and what hate was. They came into that knowledge, and man chose to do evil, to be disobedient to the Most High. This is nature. Knowing this, verse 9, that the law is not made for a righteous man. A righteous person is going to do right because it's the right thing to do. Without a law, without something telling him what's right and what's wrong. The law wasn't made for that person. Because it's just going to do right. I pray we can hear this. They're just going to look out for the welfare of their fellow man without being told to do so. They're going to love their fellow man without pretense. They don't have to be told to love them. Even when they're being wicked, their fellow man, their child, their husband, their wife. So he's saying, this is what I'm looking for. The law is good if a man uses it lawfully or lovingly. Now, people may not take it that way, but as a man or a woman of the Most High, as a righteous man or a righteous woman, you have to use it that way. You have to grow up to understand that this is what it's all about. Knowing this, that the law is made for is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless, those that are disobedient. That's who the law is made for. And so if we are doing what we're supposed to be doing in Messiah, and we are not sinning, but we're keeping the law, not saying we're not up under a law, not saying that the law don't apply to us, we are saved through grace. We can be wild, and all we got to do is say we're sorry. Then we really don't have an understanding of the gospel. None. Because we still get that same evil nature because we were never converted. Never changed. Never had godly sorrow. So let me read this verse so that we understand this. And so that we as a people come to this understanding that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully, lovingly. To correct someone. If they won't be corrected, then they are reprobate. You can't change them. Only time or the Most High can change them, but the only thing you can do is tell them in a loving way. Verse 9 again. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. Being disobedient makes you lawless. It's like a double negative for the ungodly and for the sinners. If you are lawless, you are ungodly. If you are lawless, you are a sinner. If you are lawless, you're being disobedient. For unholy. If you are lawless, you are unholy. Cannot be holy and be lawless. And for profane. For murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers and manslayers. For whoremongers for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, slavers, for liars, for perjurers, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So this is not a catch-all. The catch-all is, according, if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, in the spirit of the thing, in the spirit of being right, not having to follow the letter of the law. Well, it don't say that. It's not written. Messiah said from the very beginning, it was intended that you wouldn't fornicate. It was intended that you wouldn't commit adultery. It was intended that you wouldn't just put away your wives for any reason. That was the intent. But because of the hardness of your heart, he allowed divorce. But that wasn't ever the intent. So you are trying to be righteous, then you will have studied the law and know the heart of the Most High, that marriage was supposed to be between that man and that woman forever. Forever. And he didn't like it when people would just take and do any reason to come out of something that he has put together. The spirit of it was stay together, not find a reason to get out of it. The letter of the law said, hey, if you can find these specific reasons, if you find any uncleanliness in her, kind of general, then you can put her away. So I said, no, I was never intended to be that way. That was not how it was intended to be. Let me set the record straight. So the Most High is saying that the law was not written for the righteous. Because the right person would be like, hey, I took this woman as my wife, and she's supposed to be my wife till death. And unless she does something that is so egregious, like go out and sleep with another man, I can't be putting her away for just any reason. She don't know how to cook my steak. She don't make the bed the way I like it made. She squeezed the toothpaste in the middle. I squeeze it from the end. Any reason, then that's not love. And that goes vice versa. So he's saying the law wasn't made for somebody who would say, you know what, you're my spouse. I don't like everything about you, but you know what? I'm here to the end. I'm here to the end. And unless you do something that's going to be so egregious that I can't stay with you, I'm going to still follow the commandments of the Most High. I may not be with you, but I'm going to still follow the commandments of the Most High. So he said that the law wasn't made for that person, because they're going to do the right thing. They're going to look at the situation and say, okay, what is the right thing to do in this situation? And if they got to meditate on it, if they got to go before the Most High on it, if they got to seek counseling, they're going to do the right thing. Because the law wasn't made for you. The law was made for that person that is lawless, that would just do anything. They'll do what's in their heart. Now, I ain't staying here. I'm getting up. I'm leaving. I'm going to go be with whoever. No, the law wasn't made for them. So, verse 10. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. That's who the law was made for. Now, you know, again, when we come to Messiah and we are baptized in him and he gives us a clean slate, then we're not subject to the law because we got a clean slate. But if we turn around and sin again, we turn around and become lawless again, then we put ourselves back up under the law because we become disobedient again. We become evil again in the eyes of the Most High, evil. And we weren't truly converted. You know, and I really do blame this on ministry in the church for not telling people and teaching them properly. You gonna come into this, then all that foolishness you've been doing, that's gotta stop, period. No, you do not get 4 and 5 and 6 times to get it right. Once you know right from wrong, that's what you need to do is right. If you do wrong and you know it's wrong, there ain't no blood for that. They need to be being told that for real. Because this is the problem from the beginning. Disobedience. And the Most High says, you know, if you're being disobedient ignorantly, I don't have a problem with that. I do, but, you know, once you find out, I'm going to send somebody to tell you, and once you know, stop being disobedient. Stop being evil. Because every time you do it, the only thing you're doing is telling me you don't love me. So we have to have that conversion. Got to have that conversion. Verse 11 and 12 in 1 Timothy chapter 1. I thank our Master who has enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer. Paul saying, hey, I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurer. I was hurting people, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly. In unbelief. When we come to the knowledge of the truth, then we have to understand that we are not going to sin because of love. We want to show the Most High that we love him. We want to do that unseen, you know, out of no pretense, but that we see his ways and that his laws are good and they're loving and they're kind. And they keep us out of trouble. They help us to treat our fellow man with dignity and respect. But then when we're doing stuff willfully, we know that we're supposed to be loving. We know that we're supposed to be kind. We know that we're supposed to, and we don't do it. And we don't love the Most High the way he says he wants us to love. We be disobedient. Then he says that you're willful, you're not ignorant. That's a whole different matter. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because in the beginning, mankind operated out of disobedience, Adam and Eve, disobedience. I know I wasn't supposed to eat from that tree, but I did it, being disobedient. Adam, why did you eat from that tree? He blamed it on the woman. No, he did it. He knew what he was doing. Said he wasn't deceived. He knew what he was doing. He's just going to be knowingly disobedient. Said the woman was deceived. So he's saying that she was ignorant. She got fooled. She knew she wasn't supposed to eat from the tree, but she got seduced by what was in her. She desired to have something that the enemy found out what she wanted, tricked her into being disobedient. But the man, he did it willfully from the very beginning. Now, we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says it's going to be this way in the last days. This know also, 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1, we'll read from verse 7. This know also, that in the last day perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Selfish. Only thinking about self. Never looking at and having compassion on people. What can I get out of you? What can I use you for? Covetous, wanting what other people have. Boaster, well, I got this and I got that. I took this from that, perceived this, you know, through my own means. I studied and I got this degree, and never mind that my wife had to watch the children all the time or anything like that, not giving her any credit for her part in it. Just boasting on what we achieved, but as though we did it by ourselves. And it's rarely that way. Proud. Puffed up. Blasphemer. Blasphemers and turning the word of the Most High. Evil. Through disobedience. And then saying it's okay. He will forgive. Turning the truth of Elohim into a lie. That's a blasphemy. Disobedient to parents. This is heavy one in the world today. Because, and you're gonna know it's the last day. So this is gonna be a big deal in the last day. Children are just gonna be naturally disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Can be living up under your roof, using your electricity, using your water, using your gas, eating your food, and thinking they're entitled to it. Well, you're supposed to do that. I'm supposed to do that till you were 18. Now your behind is 30, 40, 50 years old, and you're still here. Hope we can hear this, because this is the last days, and this is exactly how the children are acting. Unholy. Don't want to hear nothing about being holy. I mean, just an utter disobedience. Can hear that the Most High wants you to be obedient to your parents. Don't care. Only thinking about themselves. How they might advance themselves or what their plan is and working on that. Never mind that, you know, it takes somebody else to, you still got to eat and all this stuff, but eating from your table and not being thankful. Talk about you, cuss you out. Thinking if you don't do something for them, you in the wrong. So we know we're in the last days. Take their money and spend it on what they want to. And then when they got an emergency, turn around and look at you. Aren't you going to take care of this for me? And we like dummies do it. I'm guilty myself. Without natural affection. Don't really, you know, you got to have a reason, a motive to love. Well, you know, if you're paying for all this for me, then I guess I love you. Well, I love you, but I don't want to do what you say do. The Most High says you're not supposed to be disobedient to your parents. That means you're to obey your parents. But they really don't have any natural affection. You don't know if you die tomorrow how they would actually feel. I'm glad they're gone. What they leave me? What's my inheritance? Did you leave me any money? Did you leave me any land? What did you leave me? That's what probably was the first thing going through their mind. Oh, you mean I got to bury you out of this? Let me see how cheaply I can get around that. Truth breaker. We're going to call it truth. We're going to be at peace with one another. will intentionally break the truth with parents, with friends, with strangers. Just won't keep a contract. False accusers. You know, liars will say anything to keep out of trouble or to get their way. Tell a lie on somebody so that they don't have to take the blame or the credit for it. Incontinent. I know I looked up this word before, but I'm going to have to look it up again. Incontinent. I don't know if that's incontent or... incontinent. Now, that's not that word. Hold on a minute. I know that's not that word. Let me make sure I'm spelling it right. I guess it is. Incontinent. Con-T-I-N-G. I apologize. I just want to make sure that this is the right word that I'm looking at. C-O-N-T-I-N-E-T. Incontinent. Okay, this is like being having or no insufficient body control over urination or defecation. Lacking self-restraint. Uncontrolled. I think that that's the second meaning that it's looking at in the scriptures, that they have no self-restraint. They are, you know, whatever they want to do, they have no self-constraint. Not that they can't hold their urine or they're defecating all over themselves. But being out of control. You know, we hear this all the time. You got grown children just going about doing, you know, they won't get work, they won't pay bills, they won't clean up. You know, it's just all about them. They're out of control. And the scripture says that it's incontinent. If you elderly, that incontinence might mean you can't hold your urine. You laugh too hard and pee on yourself. You need a diaper. But he's talking about this being out of control. Fierce. You know, me and my daughter, my oldest daughter, I was telling her I was going to, you know, sell the house, and somehow she felt like she made a payment somewhere. And I'm like, excuse me, but you ain't never made a payment on this house to even have a say whether I sell it or not. But then she's going to proceed to curse me out. Says something to me that she knows, homie, don't play that. I said, you know, we don't go there, ever. I said, and you want to be fierce like that? Let me show you fierceness. Because you are only thinking about yourself and what you might get out of the house if I leave it to you or if I leave it to my son or whoever. What are you going to get out of it? But it ain't about what's best for me and my life and what I've worked for all this time. It's about what you can have. And you think that you can cuss me out over that? When you know you can't even cuss around me and you're going to cuss me out? Oh, no, 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 no. We got a problem now. Okay. And not having no restraint, being uncontrollable. Despisers of those that are good. Tell your children that you're trying to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. Well, that's for those old days. That ain't for today. What kind of, you know, stupid are you? Do you even believe that there is a Most High? Who are you praying to? Is it the God of your imagination? These last days, traitors, people turn against you in a heartbeat. no loyalty. So be loving them with everything you have. And as soon as it's convenient for them, they're going to gain something out of it. They will turn on you in a heartbeat. Petty. Look at that word. Petty. Stubborn. Strong will, especially when it comes to being, you know, disobedient. High-minded. I'm all that in a bag of chips, and they're really not doing nothing. We don't want to tell them that, hey, what you're doing ain't about nothing. You know, we're proud of what little teeth that you have, but not so that you can be, think you're all that in a bag of chips. You're better than somebody. Lovers of pleasure. More than lovers of Elohim. This is big. This is a major cause of disobedience in man today. And the world is teaching our children that, you know what? You do what makes you happy. And nothing about what makes the Most High happy. You happy. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, we're told from such, turn away. It's our own children we're dealing with. He said, you know what? If I come back right now, and you are doing the righteous thing, and your child is not, I'm not saving your child for you. Especially if your child is of age and is grown. Because they have a form of godliness. They have a form of power. They have a form of authority. Hey, my son don't want his grandparents to tell their grandson anything. So, dude, I'm his grandfather, so I told you I'm going to tell him. I spank you, I'll spank him. Well, I don't want you doing that. I don't care what you want. You're in my house. Now, I'm not trying to make you raise your child the way I raised you, but I'm not going to have the stuff out of your child that I wouldn't have out of you. You know, I wouldn't let mainly my in-laws, tell me how to raise my children because they sure tried it. And so I'm not trying to tell my children how to raise their children to a degree. But if your child is doing stuff that they ought not be doing and you're not correcting it, then, yeah, I'm going to tell them. Poor sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sin, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Sister Mary, you need to mute your mic. You got a lot of background noise there for some reason. Ever learning and never being able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Disobedience, never coming to the knowledge that they need to be obedient. That all the issues that they're having is coming from their disobedience. So it doesn't matter whether it is whether it's just another man or another woman, but when it comes to your children, the vast majority of the problems that they're having is because they're disobedient. Don't do what they want to do. And so they get confused. What's the right thing to do? You said to do this, and my heart wants to do that. And I don't want to be, you know, obedient to you. I don't want to be obedient to the word of the Most High. I want to do what I want to do. So what is being converted. If they will not obey the Most High, they won't obey you. If they won't obey you, they won't obey the Most High. And when you look at a person's life, a stranger, a sinner, and the things that they're, the problems that they're having and they're going through is through because they are what? Disobedient. Either willfully or through ignorance. Don't you know that behavior will bring you trouble? Well, it's just always been that way. Well, maybe you need to change. Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever tried that? The word of the Most High says this. I don't believe in that stuff. Then that's why you're going through what you're going through. So when we are in this word, when we have been reading the scripture, and we are still struggling with sin, it's because we have not been converted. We still got that old evil, disobedient nature. And it's what the Most High is talking about being converted from. From the very beginning. And so I hope I get in. You don't have to hope you get in. Just do what he says to do. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let's go to Titus chapter 1. Because when people are disobedient and they're strong-headed, they're stubborn, they'll be learning some things, but they'll never come to the knowledge of the truth. Because they'll never open their eyes. They'll never open their ears to hear truth. It's got to be about them. Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Unto the pure. Pure, he's talking about the righteous. All things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. When a impure person, a defiled person, a sinful person that wants to live that way, doesn't want to hear right from wrong, doesn't want to hear correction, doesn't want to hear what the Most High says, doesn't want to, you know, obey their parents, but want to do what they want to do, their conscience is defiled. And nothing to them is pure. Because they're always trying to figure out an angle. They're always going to corrupt it to try to get the way, what they want to get. So he says, even their mind and their conscience is defiled. It's corrupted. It's doing what they have made it do. I don't really care about being obedient. Not to daddy, not to mama, not to God, not to nobody. Not to husband, not to nobody. I'm going to do what I think is right. They profess that they know Elohim. And so he's really talking about, most of this is really talking about supposedly believers who don't obey, believers obedient to the word of the Most High. They profess that they know Elohim, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient. This thing always comes back to being disobedient. And unto every good work, reprobate. And try to do a good work, but because their motives are fiend, what can I get out of this? All their good works turn bad. You were using me to do that? Oh, you did that for me so you can get this? You're only acting good so I'll do something for you? Reprobate. Not doing anything out of pure love. not doing anything because just because I love you. Go to 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 7, we're going to get verses 7 and 8. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. If you truly believe in the scriptures, then Messiah is precious. The Most High is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the stumbling block, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling. They're going to trip over this every time. They're going to find a reason to be disobedient. They're going to find a reason to stay in their sin. They're going to find a reason to do what they want to do rather than what the right thing is to do. Their motive is never to do the right thing. Their motive is what's right for them. Selfishness. Whereunto also they were appointed. So it may come a point where the Most High, you know, just turns them over to that. And no matter what you say to them, they're not going to be able to come out of it. 50 years old and still doing the same old thing. Going through cycles. Some good here and then evil. Messiah's not going to let them. He's not going to let them repent. Because they, at some point in their lives, chose to be, this is me, I'm disobedient. Brag about it. Oh, yeah, they think they can tell me what to do. I don't care what you say, I'm going to do what I want to do. Disobedience, so the Most High turns them over to that. Turns them over to evil. Because they never wanted to convert. You got people reading the scriptures day in and day out. Never understood that they must be obedient. If they did understand it, they chose to, what, be disobedient and wonder why they're struggling, wondering why they're still having all these issues at this point in time in their life. It may just be them now, and they can't even see a way out of it because the Most High is not going to allow them to see a way out of it because he's been appointed to it now. Oh, you want to be wicked? You want to be evil? You want to be disobedient? Let me appoint you to that now. No matter what your parents say to you, no matter what your grandparents say to you, no matter what your friends say to you, you can't seem to pull yourself out of it. Because the Most High has appointed it to you, appointed you to that now. Go to Acts chapter 3, the book of Acts chapter 3, look at verses 18 and 19. Acts verse 18 and 19. But those things which Elohim before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, all his prophets forever were calling Israel to come back and be obedient. Keep the commandments of the Most High. Don't be disobedient, because the Most High sees that as being evil. That Christ, Messiah, should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent. I went and got the definition for repent out of Ezekiel, chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 18. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 18 real quick. We're going to get verse 21. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 21, and we'll go back to where we just left off. But if the wicked will turn from all his sin that he has committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. That is repentance. Turn from all your sin that you have committed, and keep all the Most High statutes, to do that which is lawful and right. Be obedient to the word of the Most High, that you shall surely live. He shall not die. This is what he wants from everyone. This is where he's saying in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent, turn from all your wicked ways. With godly sorrow. We'll read that in a second. Repent, turn from all your wicked ways. Keep the commandments of the Most High and be converted. Turn away from that evil and that disobedient spirit that you have. Keeping lawful. Turn to being obedient. That your sins may be blotted out. See, all these people who are thinking that they can continue in sin, especially willful sin, thinking that their sins are blotted out. I was talking to a sister, and she was telling me, you know, we couldn't wait for the Day of Atonement because we just knew all of our sins for all that year were going to be blotted out. I said, that's not the way atonement works. The Most High said, if you were sin presumptuously, you could even bring a sacrifice for that sin. So how could you bring it to atonement? You couldn't. He said, that sin, that iniquity was going to remain upon you. And if you understood the way the sanctuary worked, the Day of Atonement was to forgive all the sins that were forgivable, that had been stored up in the sanctuary. When somebody sinned and they transferred that sin to the animal, and then that blood was sprinkled on the altar, that sin was at the altar. It wasn't gone anywhere yet until the Day of Atonement. But he allowed you to walk away supposedly with a clean conscience, that your sins had been forgiven because it was something that you had done ignorantly, and he would forgive you for it. But he said if you sinned presumptuously, willfully, you couldn't even bring a sacrifice. So that sin never got up under the blood, and you couldn't bring it there on the Day of Atonement because it was a willful sin. So people have been misusing the Day of Atonement, not understanding how the Most High operates, not understanding how he operates. That atonement was for ignorant sin. You could bring a sacrifice for that. That got transferred to the altar through the blood of that animal. How was it going to get to the altar if you could never bring a sacrifice for it? You couldn't bring it on the Day of Atonement either. And I know a lot of my Hebrew brothers and sisters have been misusing that day. But the Most High says you could never do that. So when the temple, when the altar was cleaned and all the sins of Israel were transferred to the scapegoat, your sins wouldn't have been in there because your sins wouldn't have been at the altar. You wouldn't have been allowed to bring a sacrifice for it if it was willful sin. But if it was ignorant sin, then you could have brought a sacrifice and you could be forgiven for it. Didn't change up under the New Testament. So, you know, I'm praying that everybody gets an understanding that the Day of Atonement was never for willful sin. It was never to cleanse Israel of all their willful and ignorant sin, because the Most High said, told them clearly, willfully, that sin, that iniquity shall remain upon you. It ain't at the altar. The Day of Atonement don't cover it. So he meant for Israel to walk around in what? Obedience. And only bring a sacrifice when it was something for something ignorant. Then that was stored in the sanctuary until the Day of Atonement. When the high priest went in there on the Day of Atonement and transferred all those sins that were at the altar to the scapegoat. And all the sins that the people committed that were ignorant sins, he did another sacrifice for those. Ignorant sins, not all their sins, not whatever they have committed. That wasn't allowed. So I pray we understand. Important. Obedience is to the Most High. This is how important not being willfully disobedient is to the Most High. When he says repent, ye therefore and be converted, you got to understand that your nature was to do evil, to be disobedient, and in the Most High's eyes, that was evil. And we don't want to think of ourselves as evil people. In the Most High's eyes, you were evil. I was evil. Disobedient. Got Adam and Eve kicked out of the garden. Got Israel kicked out of the promised land. Gonna get all unrighteous people kicked into the lake. The lake of fire. So, repent. Turn away from being disobedient. Keep the commandments of the Most High. Be converted from that disobedient person to that obedient person. That your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing, when Messiah returns, that's the times of refreshing, shall come from the presence of Yah. I pray we get this and understand it. This is what this thing is all about. If we think we love the Most High and we're still being disobedient, he said, you don't love me. Say you love me, but you're indeed you don't. You say you love me in word only. Your actions don't prove it. Matthew chapter 8, verse 13. Let me move this along real quick. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 3. And he said, verily I say unto you, unless you be converted and become as little children, correctable, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You can't be sitting here talking about, I love you, God, and I want to enter into the kingdom, and you're still being disobedient. You never got converted. You never went from disobedience to obedience. How do we know if we've been converted? Go to John chapter 15 and verse 10. The book of John chapter 15 and verse 10. It's all over the place. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You want to abide in the love of the Most High? Keep Messiah's commandments. Keep the commandments of the Most High. If you don't keep his commandments, you don't abide in his love. You are adversary. You are evil in his eyes. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Because this is for my New Testament only saints. 1 John chapter 2 and 3. And hereby do we know that we know him. If you know him, you're going to be converted. No way that you can know him and not be converted. If we keep his commandments. If we don't walk in disobedience. not working on it. Because, you know, people try to use that excuse. Well, I'm working on it. I'm trying to be better. If you die while trying to be better and you die in your sins, you're going straight to the lake. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. If you think disobedience is pleasing to the Most High, if you think not keeping his commandments is pleasing to the Most High, then you got some real problems. If you believe there's no law, you got some real problems. If you believe that you can love the Most High and not keep his commandments, twist it. You still got that spirit of disobedience and you have not been converted. Because if you've been converted, you're going to know, I have to keep his commandments. I have to keep his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances. I got to do what he says to do. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. The book of 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. Can't even say you love your brother and sister if you don't keep the commandments of the Most High. By this we know that we love the children of Elohim. By this we know that we love the children of Elohim. When we love Elohim and keep his commandments. Can't say you love your brother and your sister, the children of the Most High who are keeping the commandments, if you don't keep his commandments. They say, if you don't keep my commandments, you ain't none of mine. But I love the people of the Most High. I love his children. His children obey. They ain't trying to obey. They're not worshiping with their lips only. But they are doers of his word. And not just hearers only. So let me read this verse again. By this we know that we love the children of Elohim, and we've been converted. When we love Elohim and keep his commandments, how does the church get around that? How do those, we keep the commandments in the New Testament. Messiah said the first commandment I gave you was to keep the commandments that he first gave. I'm just setting the record straight. I'm clarifying some things. I'm not voiding out the law. You need to be converted. You need to be converted from that disobedient spirit that keeps telling you that you can keep doing the things you were doing and call yourself his. That you can keep doing the things you were doing and classify yourself as a good person, as a righteous person. He said, no. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. For this is the love of Elohim. I already told you how he defines his love. That we keep his commandments. And that his commandments are not grievous. They're not hard. They don't give me grief to keep them. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verse 10 through 10 and 11. Because this is what a lot of people lack in their repentance. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Godly sorrow means that you are sorry that you have offended the Most High Elohim. And if you're sorry, if you understand and you're sorry that you have offended the Most High Elohim, you will convert. You will change from being disobedient to obedient. And you will do it happily because you don't want to be disobedient. To do it is not grievous to you. Oh, man. I really want to do this other thing. I really want to do this over here, but I know this is the right thing to do, but I ain't feeling good about doing it. Then you haven't been converted. You know the truth, but it ain't in your heart to do the truth. For behold, read verse 10 again. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. If you got that worldly sorrow, sorry that you got caught, sorry that you got to do good, sorry that I want to do wickedness, I want to be disobedient, but I'm going to do right, that's the sorrow of the world. That's not godly sorrow. You've got no peace in your heart saying, I am sorry that I have transgressed against the Most High Elohim. I'm sorry that I've been disobedient. None of that in you. And I feel terrible about it. Not converted. Want to know how to convert? Recognize that you have transgressed the Most High against His command. That you have offended the Creator of the universe. Your Maker. And be genuinely sorry that you have done it. Not unseen. You know what? I'm going to say I'm sorry, but I'm really not. Because if the opportunity come up for me to do that thing again, I'm going to do it. I can't, you know, if you tempt me like that, I can't help myself. Not converted. For behold, this self-same thing that you sorrowed after a godly source. He's telling you how you're going to be if you have godly sorrow. What carefulness it worked in you. You careful not to sin. Yea, what clearing of yourself. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire to do good. What zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things you have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. If you have godly sorrow, you're not just going to sin willfully when you understand the ramifications of it. You're not going to do it. 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim? That you obey Him. That's His will. That you obey Him in all things. That you be converted from that disobedient spirit to the obedient one. From the very beginning, this is all He's ever wanted. Renew your mind. Stop thinking wicked. Stop thinking how you can do what you want to do. And be obedient to Me and My word. So I pray for all those who are hearing this and those who go back and listen to it, that if you have been wondering how do you get saved, how do you get converted when you say, well, this is my natural way, this is the natural way of the human body, it's only natural if you allow it to be natural. It's only natural if you don't get control of your body, of yourself. If you don't understand that no matter what your body wants, it's going to trigger something in your mind. And you got to fight it right there. And you got to choose to be obedient. And you got to learn to love it, because then you got to see, hey, when I slept around, I got that venereal disease. I got a name. I might have gotten pregnant and had to abort a life. I might have gotten somebody pregnant and forced them to abort a life. All my actions were not to do righteousness, but to satisfy myself and my flesh, to be disobedient to the word of the Most High. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, whomever hear this word, Father, let them understand that from the very beginning, the problem has been disobedience to your word. From the very beginning. And the problem is that you put the knowledge of good in us, but we choose to do evil. We choose to be disobedient. Every time we go to do something wrong, something tells us that we know it's wrong. That knowledge of good that you put in us, even if nobody taught us, we know by nature that what we're about to do is wrong. And we know what is right, we know what is good, but we choose to do evil. And you want us to be converted. You want our minds to be rewritten. We want our minds to be transformed, that we always think about doing good rather than always thinking about doing evil. We always think about doing right rather than always thinking about doing wrong. You want us to convert and to obey your law. If we still got the nature, if we're still struggling with doing right, then we have not been converted. We are not committed to you. We are committed to you in word only, but not in deed. Father, if there be anyone that hear these words and repent and turn from their wicked ways, even if you have turned them over to a reprobate mind, Father, if they will truly repent, Father, I ask that you would forgive them. That you would forgive them, Father, and allow them to come to you. That you would forgive their evil. You would cast it into the sea of forgetfulness if they will come to you with a truly repentant heart. If they will recognize that they have sinned against you and have godly sorrow. That you would repent of the evil that you have spoken against them because of their evilness, Father. That you would give them and allow them to convert, to be converted, and to be healed. Because you have said in your word, because they would not hear, you wouldn't allow them to hear. You wouldn't allow them to understand that they should be healed. So, Father, hear my prayer for you. For you know, Father, that so many people, so many teachers are teaching false doctrine. So many teachers are not teaching your heart, but they're teaching their own heart and how they would react to a situation and not how you will react to it. If they sincerely repent, Father, forgive them and allow them to be converted and healed. Fill them with your spirit that they might be converted and become your child. They don't keep going through the motions, knowing that, forgive them the power to resist. Take it from them, that they don't even be tempted with it. In Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, so I pray that somebody receives something from this word on today. I pray that if the Most High has touched you in your heart, that you will go before him and that you will ask that the prayer that I pray, that it be applied in your life and that he will allow you to be converted in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, that you might become his child, his obedient child. On tomorrow morning, we have to see what the Most High says. I don't know what I'm going to be teaching tomorrow morning. I really don't. He'll give it to me tonight at some point. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. Be ye converted by the renewing and the transforming of your mind. Rebuke that spirit of disobedience. Keep the commandments of the Most High and do it happily, because they're not grievous. They are to show you how to love him and how to love your fellow man. Happy Sabbath, family, and enjoy the rest of your evening. Go spend some time with the Most High. Shalom.
praise which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever.
Miles, happy Sabbath.
Shalom, Sister Mary. Happy Sabbath to you. Sister Denise, I see it dropped out.
Yeah, I see you tomorrow.
All right, amen. Have a blessed evening. And shalom, Brother Gary. Have a happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath. There's a lot of static in the background.
All right, can't help that. I have a fan on. I don't have any AC on right now. But have a Sabbath there.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.